Lalin. Thank you, Deanna and Britt. It's an honor to be here in Montreal, in Mohawk territory. My grandfather is from Montreal, but lives in Nova Scotia, so it was extra special for me to tell him I was reading at the Atwater Library. He's like, you made a kid. Which I sort of feel like I did too. So I'm going to read from my book, Still No Word, which came out in 2015 through Breakwater. It was the recipient of the EGAL Canada Human Rights Trust First Award for a femme woman who had been unpublished under 35. And the first poem in the book, Harvest Your Heart, was one of the very first poems that I had written. When you arrive at this loneliness, write a letter to each lover and examine what was taken. Remind them with memories and pinpoint subtle ways they touched you. Recall the way they buttered your toast and spread your thighs. Bring them to your tower, where you've been hiding since you left them, learning and unlearning, doing and undoing, covering and recovering. Cup your hands over their eyes and linger until anxiety turns to ease, familiarity. You know the years have worn on them, they've worn on you too. Give them a moment to adjust, to take in the view. Ask them to bear witness to your shame, a transformation of pain reclaimed. Tell them of the centuries you've spent grieving. Give them and yourself mercy. Apologize before a harvest moon. Set right what can be set right, and finally drop what you couldn't let go of. Hold your own hand and kiss your palms goodnight. Love again the stranger in you. Set a table for two and forget to blow the candles before bed. Burn down the house and build anew. A friend of mine, Krista Davis, turned that into a little video poem, which is on YouTube, but it was a cool thing for me because I've never had that experience before. That I think putting something out in the world for the first time, you start to realize that other artists are influenced by what you're doing. So it was really neat. This next poem I'm going to read is Emotional Philosophy. I spent a summer, it was about 5 months, living in the north end of Halifax in Sue Campbell's house, and she had just passed away. She had cancer. She was a poet and a philosopher. And her partner needed someone to take care of this orange tabby, Stan. Stan was a little rough around the edges, but we spent a lot of time together. And I felt that I was a part of their dream or something, living in their house and getting to know Sue this way. I haven't wondered why you painted the house primary colors. I've noticed the red staircase, yellow banister, purple kitchen. I haven't noted each room feels like a page in a children's book. I've learned to pick bright hues to keep the blues at bay. I haven't counted 248 green tiles in the kitchen. I've made meals I didn't eat only to pass an hour. I haven't wondered if we get along. I've imagined you boiling the kettle. I haven't refilled the salt shaker on the stove. I've stopped taking sugar in my tea. I haven't cleaned up the kitchen. I've taken out the compost. I haven't finished all the expensive whiskey. I've mixed pink ladies with your gin. I haven't fingered the bookshelves in the living room. I've read the bell jar you bought for $1 a year before I was born. I haven't watered your dead plants, certain they'll come back to life. I've curled under wool blankets and into your pillows. I haven't looked through your photo albums. I've memorized that dress you wore on New Year's Eve in 1997. I haven't danced myself to rumors on repeat. I've memorized the lyrics to Gypsy. I haven't opened the windows to let the house free. I've closed the blinds to keep strangers from looking in. I haven't folded my thoughts into your dusty drawers. I've watched the shadows fall over each room. I haven't listened to your housekeepers in Portuguese lullabies. I paid her $50 every other week. I haven't rearranged the furniture. I've arranged fresh-cut wildflowers from your garden. I haven't kept the flowers in the bathtub away from the orange tabby. I've wondered what makes a cat meow. I haven't used up all your I've read your old magazines and put your death certificate aside. I haven't discovered the manuscript in your office. I've made a photocopy. I haven't slept soundly every night. I've been napping above the covers. I haven't heard the crows in the trees in mourning. I've wondered what side of the bed was yours. I haven't longed to dream beside someone. I've cried myself to sleep on your mommy sheets. I haven't finished the shampoo left on the edge of the tub. I've used the last Q-tip. I haven't found watches all over the place. I've wondered the purpose of time if it's wrong. I haven't paid off all my library fines. I've taken out armfuls of books to have something to return. I haven't weeded. I've swept the leaves from the step. I haven't taken up smoking. I've put cigarettes out behind the shed. I haven't ordered takeout every other night. I've found greens in the vegetable garden. I haven't worried about your lover. I've brought her blue towel to the beach. I haven't calculated 4,974 miles between Maynard Street and Edmonton. I've wondered what drew you to Alaska. I haven't wondered what causes cancer. I've questioned the philosophy of emotions. I haven't avoided the bottles of orange pills. I've read the pages you wrote in your last days. I haven't understood the abbreviated medication dosages. I've found the poems written between hours of methadone and Xanax. I haven't seen a doctor. I've read songs for relinquishing the earth. I haven't thought she's watching over me like you noted in the margins. I've believed you were. So as Deanna mentioned, I come from St. John's, which is half true. I grew up in Ontario, and my whole life I've told everybody I was a Newfoundlander. My parents are Newfoundlanders. And now I'm telling everybody I'm from Ontario, so it's like a shift. But I love Newfoundland. It's a complicated place for me. And this poem I'm going to read next, we'll take us down to the southern shore. My mom has an old house there. It's an old salt box house in Portugal Cove South. And it's 2 hours from the city. She bought it when I was a teenager, when I had a pen pal in that area. And there's a place called Mistaken Point, which is where the oldest fossils are. And it's recently been named a UNESCO World Heritage Site. But all of this is not in the poem. I'm just talking about it because I think it's interesting. Don McKay wrote a really beautiful poem about Mistaken Point, and this is no Don McKay poem, but. Point mistaken. I mistook you for someone else walking over ancient rocks, your feet covered in blue socks to preserve the fossils. I saw something new in you. Your brown eyes softened as your calloused fingers traced the remnants of all that came before us. Time began under your fingernails. On the drive home, a whale breached and we pulled over, struck by seeing something larger than ourselves. A friend of mine, Kim Harris, actually turned that poem into a song. She has a big, beautiful voice, like an Adele kind of voice. Every time we hear the poem, I really wish I could sing it to you, but I'm not going to do that. I'll spare you that. But she did also take this little poem and turn it into a song, too. It's called A Healer's Loon. Seek wounded healer, cry out to unseen ancestors, still no word. So part of this book, I think, was questioning my place in the world and my various selves and other people's various places in the world, and certainly connecting with my ancestors on my father's side. I wrote the book when I was living in Halifax, and there's a lot of poems about Newfoundland in here. Sometimes I feel like I wrote myself back to Newfoundland. So I might try to write myself to Montreal next. We'll see how that goes. But to keep with the Newfoundland theme, and at the mention of my grandfather earlier, here's a poem called Last View of Belle Island, which is an island in Newfoundland. The poem also gives nod to Sue Sinclair, who has several views of Belle Island. She was actually the first critic in residence. I was the second. But anyway, so her poems are more about looking at Belle Island from Portugal Cove, and mine is an interior experience. The funeral procession led our family up a steep cliff, an island cradled by an island, to stand tall together in an overgrown graveyard, a box of ashes in the back of the priest's trunk, a day where the royal blue ocean met a cloudless September sky, our foreheads and noses all sunburnt. Even the whales greeted the boat on her farewell journey between Portugal Cove and Belle Island. Only those oceanic jellyfish, sea creatures, and seals could recall her maiden voyage 78 years ago. The Belle of the Bay left rolling hills, weathered rocks, her family, and set sights on the mainland. Back in those days of plentiful fish, youthful undoing, high winds, and deep swells, before loss became constant. We listened to the black cloak priest sing a death hymn. Only grandfather hummed along like an out-of-tune baritone. The same voice sang out the night she died, an old love song to help ease her transition. To think they could doubt my love, yet today my love has flown away, I am without my love. At the grave, the minister placed our letters into a velvet sack. Daughters and grandchildren's blue eyes glistened like the water. She returned to the dirt, where her mother's tomb, a square big enough for a wooden box of ash and gravestone, reminds us she died on the same day as her mother's birth. We dropped our tears, rocks, a cigarette into the grave, held one another close. My grandfather murmured, "Tears I cannot hide. Oh, so I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes." The poem does present a very romantic relationship. My grandparents are actually divorced, and I sometimes think, what does Nanny really think of me reading this poem all the time? But Poppy loves it, so, you know, I think she's fine with that. But I'm going to finish the book and then move into some of my new poems. But the last poem, and Still No Word, is sort of the question that I think I ask, or I'm starting to answer in my next collection. So tell me, medicine woman, who do I belong to? Once I was a fatherless daughter. Now I come from a landless band, from West Coast Newfoundland, where earth meets coast. I'm an Irish-named river, born close to a mountain, married to the ocean, uncertain of my sense of place. Now father's last name echoes on the wind. I am Hal Mi'kmaq, product of the Indian Act. He's a man of few words, has never built a teepee, shingles suburban houses, only ladder touches ground. I tried to sing to you in Gaelic, English, French, and Mi'kmaq, but don't know your languages. You were hunter, trapper, healer, and bootlegger, a midwife to 700 babies around Bay of St. George's. You travel by dog team, horse, sled, and snowshoes to expectant mothers. Father says you were small, only 4 feet tall. You bring gifts, eagle feathers, rock, tree bark, to remind me of a place and the possibilities. Woman, you are mighty. Are from my collection called Who Took My Sister. This is a preface from Lee Miracle. There is a direct connection between violence against the earth and violence against women. Aboriginal All-Girls Chorus. We are members of a voiceless choir. Sorrow drifts across our stolen land. North winds sing, lost women expire. Our spirits linger until you inquire. Left a rod if no one takes a stand. We are members of a voiceless choir. Bring feathers, sage, roots you acquire. Look under rocks, stretches of sand. North winds sing, lost women expire. Call on the creator, offer up fire. List the names mourned by our band. We are members of a voiceless choir. Keep searching, the need is dire. Take us back to our motherland. Worn sisters, how a nation conspires. Search ditches where highways wire. Soar like eagles toward a horizons grand, we are members of a voiceless choir, north winds sing, lost women expire. That poem, did a letter press in the back, Ebony the Goat in St. John's. So this next series of poems that I've been working on, so I've been looking at the recently murdered Indigenous women in Canada, and thinking about them, thinking about their mothers, and this very important issue in our country. Amber Tuckeray's last phone call for Tootsie Tuckeray. Do you know this man's voice? Mom told Amber not to go. No hitchhiking with strangers. She called from a motel in Nisku, a pit stop on her way to the city, before she was picked up by a man. Some people recognize the man. Police are still trying to identify his voice. Amber said, I want to go to the city. Better not take me anywhere I don't want to go. In a phone call recorded outside of Nisku, brother on the line in the jail full of strangers, knew his sister was with a stranger. A man is a man is a man. Amber hitched a ride from Nisku. We're taking the back roads, said a husky voice. Where you want to go? North of Beaumont, outside of the city. I want to go into the city. Are we? She questioned the stranger. Where do these roads go? To 50th Street, spoke the man. Are you sure? Said her voice, just beyond road signs of Nisku. Sky the color of carpet at Motel Nisku. Yo, we're not going into the city. Panic filled her voice in the passenger seat of a stranger. She didn't know the man who took her where she didn't want to go. Mom told her not to go. Never heard back from a room in Nisku. Not like Amber to listen to a man on a stretch of road outside the city. Mom told her to keep from strangers. Could hear fear in her voice. He killed her baby. Where'd she go? Never made the city. Found her body outside of Nisku, a farm owned by strangers. Left only with an audio of a man. Now she's Amber's voice. For mercy. You are near first light among black spruce. You are looking for the healer. You can't find her. You go searching for Labrador tea in mossy bogs under peat. You go unnoticed by a murder of crows. You remember your father calls them tricksters. You watch him cross out blackbirds with index finger. You hear him. No sorrow, no joy, no letters, no boy. You are told crows are winged thieves. You are beyond last light when he calls on a gathering to sweep the sky. You look for wood on fire. You listen to the wind sleep. You finally hear the stars speak. You will dream of her. Your grandmothers will catch your fears. You are so many of us who left the bush. You abandoned the land. You lost our ways. You forgot your teachers. You are only shifting to lose yourself in elsewhere. You watch night unfold as the moon chimes in. You are a prayer for visions. You are a prayer for territory. You are a prayer for our people. You are a prayer for a safe return. You are a prayer to the Maker. You are a prayer. And the last poem I'm going to read is Elegy. I'm an edge walker. I'm a frozen seabird dumped on a beach. I'm a beach walker who came upon a heap of bloody turds. I'm a muir who is graceless on land but swims like a fish. I once plunged 600 feet deep into the water before I was shot down mid-flight. I'm the only hunter allowed to kill seabirds around here. I'm the land weeping, having to bear witness. I am an interpretive site where the Beothuk used to roam. I live on a res where the only in is the only out. I can't find my grandmothers out here on the land. I am a verdict. I'm a tattler who speaks to newspapers. I'm a country that questions the nature of abuse. I'm a failed legal system. I'm a medicine woman who lost her medicines. I am a stolen prayer. I am a blurred vision. I am huffing gas instead of oxygen. I am turning a blind eye. I I am jealousy's root system. I am a wounded healer. I am dishonoring my father's years of sobriety. I am an empty bottle under the sink. I am ashamed of my red skin. I am swallowing all my tears that now live in my body. I am a woman unprotected like our waterways. I'm a teenage girl found dead in a worn-out bullet from my Valentine t-shirt. I'm a sister in Swan River who ran out to pick up a check and never came home. I'm just starting puberty and miss my best friend's birthday party because I'm in a flower bed on Garden Hand First Nation. I was shot by my ex-boyfriend in a plaza who killed my fiancé and then himself. I'm a body left to rot in a dumpster on a stretch of highway on abandoned rock back road. I'm a mother who took my husband's bullet in Hermitage. I am a double murder-suicide. I am an Innu woman heading to work in Boise's Bay and mix drinks with the wrong crowd. I am running naked, screaming for help because a man tried to drown me. I am not protected by law because I'm a buckskin sex worker. I lay under the weight of a man who checked my pulse after he raped and choked me. I am dragged off to meet the Northern Lights. I am the children with sores and rashes who were poisoned by the drinking water. I'm a boreal river where we can no longer swim.